Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for. It might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that he will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip inside his head, mind, and soul, and listen to this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings and welcome, my friends, to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. Many greetings as well from our elder friends, as it would be, in the Arcturian Brotherhood and the Sirius Cluster in these days of the apocalypse. You know, the apocalypse. I'm not really myself today. I don't particularly know why. You know, but then again, I'm never really myself. I'm always some version of myself. And this version to me is a little bit strange, so you'll have to bear with me a little bit if I tend to mutilate some words or something. Hopefully I don't mutilate my points and thoughts, because that would be the important thing. But an apocalypse intensifies, as you know, because apocalypses usually come about at a time when material disorder has caused this. And materialism always leads to greater and greater manifestations of insanity, because materialism itself is the ground zero of madness, and it intensifies, and generates an apocalypse. And then the apocalypse itself, which in my view of it, but this may not be a comprehensive view, but in my view of it, an apocalypse is created to militate against or to offset the effects of materialism, at least for those who may be open to that happening, because a lot of people are on a course of runaway materialism and they don't have their hands on the reins whatsoever, and the horses of the senses and whatever else it is that is driving them on or pulling them off the road into the brush, and from thence to where we know not. Quite an unfortunate thing, but I don't know what to say about that. I've come to understand that you help when you can, you're useful when you can, but if you can't be, you don't bother. There are many axioms in the great books, like, do not cast your pearls before swine, and something about dogs as well, which I can't quite remember right now, but it has something to do with them turning again and rending you. In other words, don't take something that just does not relate to whomever you're offering it to. It'll make them angry. It'll upset them. They may turn on you. You don't want that to happen. You have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So you have to be able to see what is needed in any situation, and more importantly, to see when something is not needed except for your departure. As it also says in the Bible, where the gospel is not welcome, you shake off the very dust from your sandals and you depart. And God knows I have felt the motivation to do that more times than once, and have done so, whether or not I was carrying the gospel, or whether my leaving, I was taking good works and such with me, well, that might be open for debate. We've been talking a lot lately these days about practicing the presence of God. It was written by one, well, there was a book written by one Brother Lawrence called The Practice of the Presence of God. And this was, I guess, in the 17th century, and it would be then around the 1600s. And he found or rediscovered God at the age of 18, and then he joined the Carmelite order of monks in Paris. And if I remember correctly, at around the age of 24, he saw something in the way, in the cycles of life, and how things, you know, continue. And everything that he encountered expressed to him something of the love of God for him. And he came upon the idea that he should then practice the presence of God at all times. There's a quote I have here, let's see, that is from his book. That he had always been governed by love without selfish views, and that having resolved to make love of God the end of all his actions, he had found reasons to be well satisfied with his method. That he was pleased when he could take up a straw from the ground for the love of God, seeking him only, and nothing else, not even his gifts. That in order to form a habit of conversing with God continually and referring all we do to him, we must at first apply to him with some diligence, but that after a little care, we should find his love inwardly excites us to it without any difficulty. And this is what I believe, and more and more as time passes for me, I am finding that of all the many things that I have learned that have proven useful to me, the practice of the presence of God has actually become the most useful. It's a simple thing to do. It may seem very difficult and complicated in the beginning because it's not something you're used to doing. And many forces in the world are working contrary to your ability to perform this. And you know or have heard of such things as demons or evil spirits and things of this nature. They work for the Dark Lord. And the Dark Lord's job, and he has a job, is to distract us from the contemplation of and service of the Almighty God. And so he's doing his job, the world's doing his job to distract us whenever it has the opportunity. And the Almighty is doing his job by seeking to draw us unto him, and by putting in the way of our life and our experiences opportunities and events and conditions that bring to our attention the fact that there is a living God, and that that living God is resident within us. I mean, you will find that physics probably proves this, and if it doesn't, it will fairly shortly, that there's no life in you except that that is God who is living your life. Now, if that force in you is being demonstrated unconsciously or toward ends that are not sympathetic to or in concert with that which the Almighty wills or seeks for you to employ, well then, you've got evil being generated, and then you've got things that bring misfortune, and then you've got falling by the wayside and all the different conditions that come about when you are not utilizing that force within you to its highest expression, as I have found in my life, because believe me, I have made any number of mistakes. And the fact that I can be sitting here in front of you today and talking about these things is an example of changes that were brought about in me. I mean, at first, when I first, you know, began to pursue God with great intensity, I lived a very, very clean, remarkably clean and devoted life. I mean, there were so many things I wouldn't do, just a few things that I would do. Somehow or another, after some years of doing this, I fell off the course of what I had been doing. And I assume I didn't fall off just in one fell swoop. I think I fell by degrees from one situation leading to another, leading to another. And before long, I was lost, but I didn't realize I was lost. And although I felt that I was continuing to seek for the ineffable during this whole period, I wasn't, in fact. You know, it was just, you know, cursory. It wasn't sincere, and it wasn't with the intensity necessary to bring any kind of real success. And it was only after life had finally beaten the living whatever out of me that I was humble enough that I could return to some of the essential understandings that I had and which I now hold to today. I must say that the love of God springs up in me on a daily basis, and that I'm able to have conversations with the Almighty just as if I were talking with you sitting in a room and we were having a conversation. That's how clear it has become. And yet just some few years ago, there was very little coming back at me. It just suddenly broke through. And this is what I try to communicate to everyone that I run into who has, you know, difficulty persisting and gives up and says, oh man, I'm never going to get there. It just isn't there for me in this life. I assure you, if you persist, it will be worked out. And I've been told by the inevitable that whatever sins I imagine I've committed, they're all forgiven. They're all forgotten. I paid for them. I certainly paid for something. One would hope that it was for those, so that they are still not looming and pending over me. And there's another thing I want to counsel you on today and really try to reiterate and mention, well, several times. You see, I'm not very articulate today. Something's going on with me, and I'm not sure what it is. But I really have to caution or advise you about guilt. Don't carry guilt around with you, okay? It serves absolutely no purpose. It's like worry. When has worry about anything ever improved the situation? All it's done is drawn more negativity into your consciousness so that you're less capable of dealing with the situation you were worried about in the first place. And guilt is the same thing. Guilt has passed. If you want to do something about guilt, do something nice for someone else. If you want to handle your guilt, serve. Serve as you go along. I promise you, because I see it daily, that you will then begin to observe opportunities all through your day where you can be of service to others, even as just smiling and saying hello to a stranger. Every opportunity you run into a shopkeeper, you stop someone to ask where particular food items are on the shelf, or whether they, you know, have a particular item in some other kind of store, or you're looking for directions. The way in which you interact with that person and what you're doing can change their whole day. And you take that as opportunity to even move into something personal. Inquire about how they're doing. Bless them. Spread your love upon them. It can be silently and quietly, believe me. But I have seen it profoundly change people on occasion. And more often, the more that I employ it, you start to get results more frequently when you do something more frequently. If you're haphazard about it, the results are going to be occasional, or maybe not at all. But if you're fully and gainfully employed at a particular thing all the time, that is going to become the environment and the circumstances and conditions of your existence. That's what you're going to be living in. So it's going to start to act towards you like that, because life is a mirror. Sometimes we are a mirror reflecting what is shining on us. Sometimes we are shining on things that are reflecting what we are shining on, or negatively otherwise. And it's hard for me to tell if the general craziness right now in the world is something that's been generated by those evil ones who are going out of their way to deceive us, or because we have de-evolved to a point where we become nothing more than meat. I don't know what the reasons are, and I'm not concerning myself with that. I'm concerning myself with doing the very best I can every single day. And I advise you to do the same, because none of us know the hour of the coming of the Lord. But that the Lord will come is a fact. And will come in your own life when you depart from here. And will come in many of the situations that you come up against in crisis points or tremendous serendipity that come about for you. These are all things to keep very seriously in your mind. Look at the lives of the people around you. Look at people coming and going. People who were there yesterday and are not here today. Chuck Berry passed on. Not that that's relevant to anything, but everyone is departing. Do what you can now to set up the course of where you are headed. Don't wait until, you know, you're going, oh, well, what? That's not the way, my friends. Okay. We've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, I've been a snooze today. I don't know where I'm at, so please forgive me. That's it. Hare Krishna. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Nichimambu Guru Bawa. Much love in nature. La ilaha illallah. Om Amitabha. Greetings, my dear friend, Lord Ganesh. Carry on, Bahula. Aloha and Aru.
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. No one stays anonymous when he gets you in his eyes. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. Up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.